With Bach, his mentality, I think, was such that everything he did was going to be this incredible legacy. And if you think about, you know, the whole cycle of cantatas, the cycle of Brandenburgs, Kohlberg variations, everything was in these wonderful cycles. So what better than the greatest work, in my opinion, he ever wrote, and probably the greatest work ever written anyway, on a massive scale.
Conductor Harry Christophers echoes the thoughts of many musicians when he describes J.S. Bach's St. Matthew Passion as not only the composer's greatest work, but arguably the greatest work of music by any composer. Coming up on the Bach Hour, Harry Christophers of the Handel and Haydn Society is our guide to Bach's St. Matthew Passion. Hello, I'm Brian McCreath. Welcome to the Bach Hour from 99.5 WCRB, a part of WGBH Boston. Normally, our weekly program features a variety of instrumental masterpieces and sacred vocal works by Bach. But for today, it's a singular focus on the St. Matthew Passion, a piece so massive in scale that our journey today is just the first of a two-part series. To unlock the incredible craft and genius of Bach's St. Matthew Passion, conductor Harry Christophers joins us. He's the artistic director of Boston's Handel and Haydn Society, as well as the founder and director of the British ensemble The 16. It's added up to decades living with Bach's music, going all the way back to his days as a boy chorister. You can find the text of the St. Matthew Passion when you visit us online at classicalwcrb.org, where you can also hear this program again on demand. Again, that's at classicalwcrb.org. In 1727, Bach had been writing a new cantata virtually every week for almost 4 years. And for Good Friday that year, the most important date on the Lutheran church calendar, he went beyond the normal scale of cantata to create something extraordinary. But he wasn't just thinking about Good Friday 1727. No, it was much more than that for Bach, according to Harry Christophers.
With Bach, his mentality, I think, was such that everything he did was going to be this incredible legacy. And if you think about, you know, the whole cycle of cantatas, the cycle of Brandenburgs, Kohlberg variations, everything was in these wonderful cycles. So what better than the greatest work, in my opinion, he ever wrote, and probably the greatest work ever written anyway, on a massive scale, on a just enormous scale that really defies anything else of Bach's output. I mean, it is staggering. So I think it was just the man himself, you know, this, he really wanted to leave this as his legacy for us all to, you know, enjoy today. And I think it's as simple as that.
So when you think of Bach doing his work, you really see him projecting outward, having a sense of his own importance to the music world.
Yeah, I do. I do. I really do feel that. I mean, and I think it is staggering when you look, particularly when you compare the John Passion to the Matthew. You know, you look at the size of the John, it's very approachable. It's obviously much shorter. It's not double orchestra, it's not double chorus. You know, it's quite clear that Bach himself was seeking to really do something and stretch his own incredible talents into something that was going to be a work to remember. I think when you read your Bible and you read, you know, the Passion text, you know, the two chapters in St. Matthew that are devoted to this whole Passion story, this is a pretty hard-hitting scenario. It's very powerful. It's incredibly gory. It stretches our emotions. And what Bach is doing in the way he writes the whole Passion for us is you have the evangelist and tuba choruses telling the gospel, as it is in the Bible. Around that, we have this phenomenal libretto by Picander, which is so beautiful and so powerful. And I suppose, in a way, for a listener, they've got to be treating those sort of moments of those big choruses as this is the public's way of looking on and overseeing the action, reflecting on it, reacting to it. Whereas the arias, again going back to the beauty of Picander's libretto, are very much then personal statements by the soloist.
And the work opens with one of the most incredible choruses Bach wrote. The words by the librettist Picander combine theological themes and imagery to set the stage, and Bach reflects all of that musically with a sweeping construction for the two choirs and orchestras that gradually envelops and ratchets up the emotional pull of the story that's about to unfold. Here's the Monteverdi Choir, the London Oratory Junior Choir, and the English Baroque soloists with conductor John Elliott Gardiner.
Thank you.
the opening chorus of J.S. Bach's St. Matthew Passion. We're taking an in-depth look at this pinnacle of Bach's music today on the Bach Hour, and conductor Harry Christophers is our guide. The story of the Passion begins to unfold after that opening chorus. The evangelist tells of the conspiracy hatched against Jesus, of Jesus' prediction of his crucifixion, and of a woman's anointing of Jesus with precious water or ointment at Bethany. The story continues as Judas betrays Jesus, but the anointing at Bethany is a key emotional marker.
That, for me, you know, this is when we get the first really glorious aria, the alto aria, Buß und Reue. Penance and remorse make the sinful heart break in her, so that my teardrops may offer you, dear Jesus, pleasing spices with which to bury you. So, you know, that commentary on, you know, acceptance by her of Jesus' fate, very powerful.
Thank you. Zwölfen einen mit Namen Judas Ischariot zu den hohen Priestern und sprach:
Was wollt ihr mir geben? Ich will ihn euch verraten.
Und sie boten ihm 30 Silberlinge. Und von dem an suchte er Gelegenheit, dass er ihn verriete.
Thank you. essen Brot, traten die Jünger zu Jesu und sprachen zu ihm.
This sequence from Bach's St. Matthew Passion is one that connects the story of the Passion to the experience of a believer. In the story, Jesus says to the disciples, "This night, one of you is going to betray me."
And the disciples answer, "Lord, is it I?" And then instantly you have the chorale, which is the people, the congregation, say, "It is I." So you've had, "Herr bin ich's," and then suddenly the chorale, this is a work of genius, suddenly starts, "Ich bin's." You've had, "Lord, is it I?" "It is I." And that is an incredibly simple effect. But my goodness me, it is so dramatic and just gorgeous.
Conductor Harry Christopher is the artistic director of Boston's Handel and Haydn Society, the organization that gave the American premiere of the St. Matthew Passion over 135 years ago. Bach's St. Matthew Passion does more than tell the story of Jesus' crucifixion. It takes us into the theological and emotional landscape of that story, going beyond simple narrative to put before us every angle of the action. That continues as the soprano soloist sings a meditation on the Last Supper through the words, "I will give you my heart, my Savior. You alone shall be for me more than heaven and earth."
Thank you.
The chorale Erkenne mich, mein Hüter, or Receive Me, My Redeemer, from Bach's St. Matthew Passion, with conductor John Elliott Gardiner and the Monteverdi Choir and English Baroque soloists. We're spending time with part one of the St. Matthew Passion, and Harry Christophers, the artistic director of the Handel and Haydn Society, is along as a sort of tour guide to this incredible work. One of the many remarkable aspects of the St. Matthew Passion is the orchestration, or the way Bach uses instruments and the different colors they produce.
To the modern ear, and particularly with a period orchestra, we are hearing things that are challenging to the modern ear, that almost sound new and revolutionary. And one of these is the recitative, O Schmerz, which is basically, O anguish, here the tormented heart trembles, how it sinks, how his face turns pale. Bach is really clever here. He has the two flutes and the two oboes from the first orchestra, just with continuo and the tenor soloist. And then the piece is then worked with the chorale sung by choir two, accompanied by the second orchestra. So we've got the tenor saying, O anguish, here the tormented heart trembles, how it sinks, how his face turns pale. And the chorus with the chorale answers, what is the cause of all these torments? So they are, the chorus, asking the individual, why are you so troubled? Then we have the aria, Ich will bei meinen Jesu wachen, I mean to keep watch with Jesus. And the chorus answer, then our sins shall fall asleep. And the tenor aria is beautiful, so simple in the way it has an oboe obbligato solo, basically in conversation with the tenor soloist. And you have this beautiful lyrical chorale. It's like a lullaby. Just quite, quite beautiful.
Wie gerne, wie gerne, wie gerne.
This aria and chorale from the St. Matthew Passion weave together two of the elements Bach uses to tell the story of the Passion. The solo voice commenting from a personal perspective, and the chorus in the role of a community voice. The tension and conversation between those two parts not only tells the story, it also represents the tensions inherent in belief itself. The performance you heard featured tenor Howard Crook with the Monteverdi Choir and English Baroque Soloists conducted by John Elliott Gardner. After that point, the drama of the Passion continues to intensify as Jesus is betrayed and arrested. And according to Harry Christophers, Bach once again uses orchestration to express a huge range of emotion.
The way he uses the flutes and oboes with strings in a unison line, again, this feeling of personal touching anguish. You can feel in this the tears slowly coming down the face. It's not a phenomenal pouring of grief and emotion. It's a very subtle way. Now, that then is punctuated by this really hard chorus. Leave him, stop him, do not bind him. You know, they are the forceful element, punctuating this beautiful tune that's going above them. This is drama at its best, you know, because as I said before, you're feeling with these slow tears coming, emanating from what the soprano and alto soloists are singing, and then it's punctuated with the crowd and the congregation just reflecting on that. You know, this is not on, this has got to stop. And then you are sent into one of the most just electrifying double choruses. Sind Blitzer, you know, thunder and lightning vanished into thin air. My goodness me. The trouble is, the word genius, you know, you will say it with every single movement of the Matthew Passion, but it is just high quality music of absolute beauty, sincerity, emotion. Difficult for performers to do, but the heartache it might take to actually perform it well is worth every second of it. You know, you will talk to any member of H&H Orchestra, and if they say, you know, what's going to be the highlight of this season, it's going to be the Matthew Passion.
Blitzen sind Bomben, Wolken verschwunden sind, Blitzen sind Bomben, 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 Blitzen s
aus und schlug des hohen Priesters Knecht und hieb ihm ein Ohr ab. Da sprach Jesus zu ihm:
Stecke dein Schwert an seinen Ort, denn wer das Schwert nimmt, der soll durchs Schwert umkommen. Oder meinest du, dass ich nicht könnte meinen Vater bitten, dass er mir zuschickte mehr denn 12 Legionen Engel? Wie würde aber die Schrift erfüllt? Es muss also gehen.
Zu der Stund sprach Jesus zu den Scharen:
Ihr seid ausgegangen als zu einem Mörder, mit Schwerten und mit Stangen mich zu fahen. Bin ich doch täglich bei euch gesessen und habe gelehrt im Tempel, und ihr habt mich nicht gegriffen. Aber was ist alles geschehen, was erfüllt würden die Schriften der Propheten?
Da verließen ihn alle Jünger und flohen.
Thank you.
As part one of Bach's St. Matthew Passion draws to a close, the narrative has taken us to the arrest of Jesus. And in that community voice, the choir sings of the core of Christian belief, that Jesus was born of Mary and was destined to die on the cross. As for part two of the St. Matthew Passion, join me and Harry Christophers next week when,
because of its drama, the arias, you know, the personal reflections, A, get longer, B, get more difficult. Bach is really making us think and inject every ounce of our emotion into what he's making us do.
And in the meantime, remember that you can hear this program again at our website, classicalwcrb.org. That's also where you can find many more episodes of the Bach Hour, as well as links, videos, interviews, and more resources to further your own Bach explorations. Again, that's all at classicalwcrb.org. Thank you for joining me today. And thanks also to audio engineer Antonio Oliart Ross. I'm Brian McCreath, and I'll hope to have your company again next week here on the Bach Hour.